but we have only this one class. So this is the last class, and I'm going to introduce briefly the Irish Republic, so the southern part of Ireland, which was separated from the United Kingdom in 1921. That is to say, after the First World War, there was another war between Ireland and England, the War of Independence, and it was partly successful. Normally, when you have a war of independence, you win or you lose. And in the case of Ireland, it was partly successful. Ireland was divided. Northern Ireland, a rather artificial region, is still part of the United Kingdom today. And the south of Ireland became, first of all, the Irish Free States. It did not become a republic immediately. In 1921, Ireland became an independent country, but with the same Queen. Like Australia, Canada, they are independent, but they have the same Queen. And this was the situation of Ireland in 1921. But in 1949, after the Second World War, Ireland declared itself a republic with a president and no queen, no king, none of that stuff. Ça va être affiché dans un instant. So, first thing about the Republic of Ireland today, huge coastline, 1,000 kilometres of coastline, an island, of course. That very beautiful country. A lot of rain. I mean, really, a lot of rain. The capital, as you know, is Dublin. I do recommend you go to Dublin if you can. It's very exciting place. Ireland has been a republic. Vous arrivez à peu près à déchiffrer là. Ah, vous êtes jeune. Vous êtes jeune, c'est bon. Ireland has been a republic since 1949, after the Second World War. Good idea. In fact, during the Second World War, Ireland was neutral. It did not support Hitler, and it did not support Winston Churchill. It was neutral. It was difficult to be neutral in the Second World War. And Winston Churchill was thinking of invading Ireland. But finally, the British government decided we have enough fighting against Germany and Japan. We don't want to fight against Ireland as well. So Ireland remained neutral during the Second World War, and after the Second World War, declared itself a republic. The population today is 4.5 million people. So obviously a lot of empty space, a lot of countryside. And just for comparison, Northern Ireland has 1.8 million people. Vous savez qu'en anglais on met un point, là où vous mettez une virgule. Yeah, 1.8 million. And the whole of Ireland then, 6.2 million people. And even today, of course, probably the majority of people in Ireland would like Ireland to be reunited. I don't mean that they are actively trying to make it happen, but I think it's an aspiration. And in the Republic, 87% are Catholic. And although today, like in most countries in Europe, religious practice among Catholics is going down. Nevertheless, Ireland is a much more practicing country than France or England. Yeah, the schools are very Catholic, and the whole atmosphere of the country is a very Catholic atmosphere. Which which you may feel is positive or negative. I'm from a Catholic family, so I like it. Here is a... Voilà. That's it, yeah? Okay. Alors, il faut mémoriser les noms de toutes les régions. Vous les voyez, ils sont marqués. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, this is the flag. The Irish flag. No, it was a joke. That was the Irish flag. Here is the Irish fog. Le brouillard irlandais. Mais vous connaissez pas l'humour, vous autres. Voilà. Okay. So, let's just have a few statistics. At the beginning, we have life expectancy. Life expectancy, donc espérance de vie. Life expectancy at birth for the total population is 80.1 years. So, it is a rich country. It's like France. Now, France is 81, the United Kingdom is 79, and Ireland is 80. So I don't mean that everybody is rich, but it's not a poor country. Yeah? The life expectancy is good. The life expectancy for men is 77.8, and for women, 82.4. Hello. Là, je ne vais pas vous poser une question sur mémoriser le chiffre, mais si je posais une question là-dessus, ce serait, oui, l'espérance de vie est 81, 70, 50, donc je fais des gros écarts pour que vous ayez compris que c'est un pays riche, quoi. There are a lot of children, 2.03 children for each woman, which is more than in France, I think. More than two, but it's not massive. Of course, traditionally in Ireland, 50 years ago, people had very big families. And finally, here we have the ethnic groups, the immigration and ethnic groups. 1% black, 1.1% black, 1.3% Asian. And perhaps you remember, in Britain, when we say Asian, we mean Indian and Pakistani. Why? I don't know. Irish, 87%. Irish, 87%. And other white, les autres blancs, 7.5. So quite a lot of, 7.5 is a lot, a lot of Polish people. Of course, Poland is a Catholic country. And so coming from Poland to Ireland can be quite comfortable for Polish people. Poland is a very Catholic country. I went to Poland, and you go in the church on a Wednesday afternoon or a Thursday afternoon, and it is full. Very different from France. So those are the main immigrations. This is it. Important to see that although for a long time Ireland was a very rural population, c'était une population très rurale, ce n'est plus le cas. 61% of the population is urban. 61% of the population lives in the towns. Now, this is much less than in England. In England, 80%. On peut passer une vie en Angleterre et jamais rencontrer quelqu'un qui habite dans un village. Hein? Parce que tout le monde est dans les villes. Yeah? Okay. And France, 77%. So urban population, 61%. It's still, you know, there's a lot of people in the countryside. 40% of the people are in the countryside. But every year there are more people in the towns. Yeah, every year there are more people in the towns. Yeah. So 61% of the total population is urban. I want to introduce you to the biggest towns, because of course it's much smaller than the towns in France. In Dublin then, Dublin's the biggest, 270,000 inhabitants. Comparé à Paris, ça fait tout petit. Yeah? But nevertheless, this is the biggest one. Ne vous mettez pas trop loin parce que j'ai pas de micro. The second city is Cork. The second city is... Vous l'avez déjà, c'est ça, je sais pas. C'est bien. Vous me corrigez si je fais une erreur. Okay, Cork, 190,000 people. Je crois que ça doit être celui de l'année dernière, c'est ça. Donc ça change un peu, vous verrez. Pas beaucoup. Hein. Cork, 190,000 people. Cork, c'est dans le sud, donc. Limerick, 91,000 people. Un peu étrange comme nom de ville, Limerick. C'est aussi le nom d'un type de poème comique en anglais. Limerick. 91,000 people. Galway, up in the north, 73,000. These are the biggest cities. These are the biggest cities. It's not big. It's not big compared to Paris or Marseille. Yeah? But if you come from smaller places, you will know that. Lisbon, 71,000. Lisbon, yeah. I've never been to Lisbon. But Dublin is a wonderful place for a holiday in August. Vous avez vu ça? Je refais? Wow. So here's Dublin. That's the main street in Dublin. Dublin Castle. When the English dominated Ireland, Dublin Castle was the palace of the representative of the Queen. Bah, si je pouvais, je l'aurais fait. En fait, les interrupteurs sont enfermés là-dedans. Yeah. Here you have a statue. This is a statue of Molly Malone in Dublin. And Molly Malone is the symbol of Dublin. Yeah, it's a character. Un peu comme Marianne, c'est le symbole de la France. Molly Malone is the symbol of Dublin. Molly. Who is Molly Malone? She was not a real person. She was a person who sold seafood. Un vendeur de fruits de mer. Une vendeuse de fruits de mer. M-A-L-O-N-E, Molly Malone. Oui, je suis désolé pour la visibilité, mais dès ce soir, je le mettrai en ligne, d'accord? Pour essayer de... Okay, religion. So, I already mentioned that it is a Catholic country. 87% Catholic. Donc, rappelez-vous que les protestants sont dans le nord, dans Northern Ireland. Ici, on parle que de la République. Okay, 87% Catholic. Church of Ireland, 3%. 2,9. The Church of Ireland, c'est la version locale de l'Église d'Angleterre. Hein. C'est une alliance avec l'Église d'Angleterre. C'est les protestants donc. Autres chrétiens, 2%. Tous les autres, 2%. Les juifs, musulmans et sikhs. Tous les autres 2%. Not a lot. Yeah? So, the religion is very much dominated by the Catholics. 87% Catholic. 3% Church of Ireland. Other Christian, 2%. Other 2%. Yeah, approximately. Alors, ça, c'est une bonne question. Est-ce que ça veut dire qu'il y a 4% d'athées? Non, ça veut dire que quand ils ont demandé aux gens, lors du recensement, quelle est votre religion, 4% ont dit non, ont dit aucun. C'est-à-dire qu'il y a beaucoup de gens qui sont athées qui vont marquer catholique, parce qu'ils sont de famille catholique. Je sais que ça semble un peu bizarre en France, mais c'est ce que je ferais moi. Moi, je suis athée, mais athée catholique. Parce que c'est une identification culturelle aussi. C'est vrai que c'est un peu étrange. Oui. Oui, c'est la religion officielle, oui. Si. Alors, des petites survivances de l'histoire. This is the cathedral. Saint Patrick's Cathedral, and it is Protestants. That is to say, it was a Catholic cathedral, but it was taken many centuries ago by the Protestants. Alors, les catholiques sont pas très contents. Pour les catholiques, c'est la cathédrale, ça devrait être à eux, mais bon. Et donc, les catholiques ont décidé de ne pas construire une autre cathédrale. Parce que, bon... Ça, c'est la cathédrale protestante, mais ça devrait être à nous. Alors, ils ont construit une pro-cathédrale, cathédrale temporaire. So, this is St. Mary's, and this is the Roman Catholic... This is the Roman Catholic pro-cathédrale. Un pro-cathédrale, c'est une cathédrale temporaire. C'est-à-dire qu'une fois qu'on a réglé ce problème de protestants et catholiques, on l'aura à nouveau. Ça fait 500 ans, hein? Alors, c'est pas sûr. That's the idea. But it does show it's very important to people. This is the mosque, the Dublin Mosque. Il y en a plusieurs à Dublin, mais ça, c'est le plus grand. Vous le voyez pas très bien, mais si vous regardez un peu quand vous avez sur le web, c'était une église. Et ça a été transformé en mosquée. This is very rare, but it can happen. Yeah. So that's a very. You can see it's a church. You look at the style. The style. It's a Catholic church, but it has been transformed into a mosque today. Okay, Dublin Mosque. Heureusement que c'est écrit en grand. Just a few things about the language. The general. Language used is English. If you walk around Dublin, you will not generally hear people speaking Irish. You will not generally hear people speaking Irish. It's not like Barcelona, where you hear Catalan, or in Wales, you will hear Welsh. You do not hear people speaking Irish, not Irish Gaelic. However, Irish is an official language. There are two official languages, English and Irish. I can't speak Irish. I only know one sentence in Irish. Teanga manam an chailiga. Ça veut dire, la langue de mon âme, c'est l'Irlandais. Pas beau, ça? C'est essentiellement pour draguer en Irlande, hein? Mais bon. Okay. So, interesting political facts. In Ireland, there are two official languages, English and Irish. Not many people speak Irish, but it's an official language because it's important to people. It's an important symbol. There are some parts of Ireland, especially in the small villages and along the coast, where they still speak Irish every day. And if you look at the statistics, around 70,000 Irlandais. Je ne sais pas ce que j'avais, je le tape. C'est la même chose, l'année dernière j'ai écrit la même chose. Mon anglais disparaît. Hein. Around 70,000 Irlandais, under 2% of the population use Irish on a daily basis. So 2% of the population speak Irish every day. But it is an official language. This is politics. 260,000 have a good knowledge. Connaissent bien. And 1.5 million have some knowledge. Okay? However, in every school in Ireland, you learn Irish as a second language. Tout comme dans presque tous les collèges en France, on apprend l'anglais, je crois. Presque tous. It's like that. In Ireland, all the schools must study Irish. It's obligatory. This is because many Irish people consider that the reason that only 2% of people speak Irish every day is because of English domination and oppression and colonialism. And so it is a political act to encourage people to learn Irish. C'est pas toujours facile. Parfois les jeunes, ils ont pas envie. Parce qu'ils disent, oui, d'accord, c'était très opprimé lors de mes grands-pères, mais moi, je m'en fous. It's always very difficult to transmit to the children the traditions. Always very difficult. Ce n'est pas une image de la vie politique irlandaise, non. Il y a d'autres choses qui vont venir, vous allez voir. Irish political life, then. The most important political parties. Fine Gael, F-I-N-E, plus loin, G-A-E-L. Fine Gael. Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin. The Republican Party. Sinn Féin is the organization which was fairly close to the military IRA. They're not the same thing, but they were allies, Sinn Féin. The first political party, Fine Gael, F-I-N-E, F-I-N-E, plus loin, G-A-E-L. The second one, Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin is a small party, which is the, Sinn Féin is the party, and their priority is the reunification of Ireland. That's the first priority. So it's the Nationalist Party. Fine Gael and... là, vous le voyez pas, mais... Fianna Fáil. Donc, F-I-A-2-N-A. F-I-A-2-N-A. Deux-N-N-N-N. Fianna. Fianna. File F-A-I-L. F-I-A-2-N-A. Plus loin, F-A-I-L. Fianna Fáil. These are the three most important parties. And the biggest division is what attitude to England. So, just a moment. So, you know, in France, the biggest political division is the left and the right. And in England, the biggest political division is the left and the right. In Ireland, the biggest division is close to England or hostile to England. That's the centre of Irish politics, even today. Okay, so it's a different situation. Ireland is... sorry, did you have a question? Plus fort. Comment ça s'écrit? Yeah. Fianna Fáil, F-I-A-2-N-A. Plus loin, F-A-I-L. En fait, j'ai présenté le 3, mais celui du milieu est beaucoup plus petit. Hein. L'écran, c'est le Fine Gael et le Fianna Fáil. Et le Sinn Féin, c'est une bonne troisième partie, mais c'est une troisième partie. OK. J'ai toujours peur que je vais faire quelque chose de différent que l'année dernière. Et vous allez me corriger, c'est terrible. Now, the presidents. Ireland has a president. The president of Ireland is elected every 7 years. Every 7 years, you elect a new president in Ireland. And if you are president of Ireland, you can only be re-elected once. So the maximum is 14 years. Now, the other thing is that the president of Ireland is similar to the Queen. and not similar to the president in France. The president does not have a lot of power. The president of Ireland is mostly symbolic. So the president is largely, on a pensa, a figurehead. A figurehead, un rôle symbolique. Donc, effectivement, dans la diplomatie, etc. Mais c'est pas du tout comme en France où le président, il a vraiment énormément de pouvoir. Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll come out. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it's like the English system, really, like the English system. Why? Role, yes. Je vais le mettre en ligne très bientôt. Hein. Now, one interesting thing is we imagine Ireland. We imagine Ireland as a fairly traditional country, but from 1990, for 20 years, the president was a woman. So we imagine Ireland as a traditional Catholic country. So it's perhaps a little surprising that for 20 years, the president was a woman. First of all, Mary Robinson, and then Mary McAleese. Yeah? So in France, we haven't had a woman president yet, so we have some progress to be made. In 2011, last year, we got a new president who was a man. There he is. This is the president of Ireland. Il a l'air fatigué déjà. Monsieur Higgins, H-E-2-G-E-N-S. Monsieur Higgins is the president of Ireland. Oui, ça change. Ah oui, voilà, vous voyez, je bosse à moi. Okay, Michael Higgins is the president of Ireland. C'est aussi, je vais vous expliquer très brièvement tout à l'heure, l'année dernière, il y a eu une crise politique absolue en Irlande. Le gouvernement a été écrasé aux élections et le nouveau président est arrivé aussi. So, what does the president do? Tout comme la reine nomme le premier ministre en Angleterre, mais sans vraiment avoir du pouvoir, également, the president appoints the Taoiseach. The Taoiseach, c'est le premier ministre. The president appoints the Taoiseach, which is the equivalent of a prime minister in most countries. They always appoint the leader of the party with the most seats in parliament. So, it's like the Queen. In theory, she can choose anybody, but in fact, she always chooses the person who wins the election. The Irish word then is pronounced Taoiseach, ça pas marché, mais... So that's the political system, the Prime Minister. And here is the Prime Minister at the moment, the Taoiseach at the moment, Enda Kenny. Enda Kenny, he is the Prime Minister. And he is from the Fine Gael party. However, in Ireland, like in Italy, the government is almost always a coalition. It is almost impossible to have an absolute majority in Parliament, and so normally the government is a coalition. At the moment, the coalition is between Fine Gael and the Labour Party. Yes. Oui. Non, non, c'est de nommer le Taoiseach. Le Taoiseach. Non, tout comme la reine nomme le premier ministre en Angleterre, en Irlande, le président nomme le Taoiseach.
Voilà.
Pas vraiment. Le Taoiseach a beaucoup plus de pouvoir. Tout comme le premier ministre a beaucoup plus de pouvoir que la reine, en fait, en réalité. Okay.
Okay, so it has become normal for coalitions to form a government, as there has not been a single party government since 1989. The last time that a single party was able to form a government was in 1989. Since 1989, it has been coalition, coalition, coalition. And today's coalition is Fine Gael with Labour. Daniel, yes, il y a autre chose, mais je vais pas en parler là. So here is the present coalition government. The government is Fine Gael and Labour. Labour is not so big, it's not such a big party, but it is an important member of the coalition. Okay, so Labour is a party organised on a more traditional basis. The left, it's not very left, but it's a left party. The Green Party or the ecologists are also quite important in Ireland. Here is the Parliament. Heureusement que vous le voyez, hein? The Parliament, again, we use the Irish name, the Dáil. D-A-I-L. Donc, ce n'est pas un accident que pour toutes les institutions, ils utilisent le mot irlandais. C'est pour montrer que, voilà, notre indépendance, ça veut dire quelque chose. The Dáil, the D-A-I-L, Dáil. Bon, là, vous le voyez pas, mais bon, désolé. Ça, je vais pas dire ça. Voilà. I just want to say a few things about the economic situation, because for 15 years, of course, Ireland was a relatively poor country in the 1960s, in the 1970s, but from 1990, there was a period when the economy was going really very well. Unemployment, extremely low. The government had a policy of very low tax for companies. And because the Irish population is very educated, a lot of companies came to Ireland. Est-ce qu'il y a des gens ici qui ont acheté un ordinateur Dell? Les ordinateurs Dell sont tous fabriqués en Irlande. Même si vous avez le hotline, l'assistance, c'est en Irlande. Everything. For an example. For 15 years, the economy was growing very fast. Et on parlait du tigre celtique, the Celtic tiger. Vous n'êtes pas des étudiants en économie, mais vous avez peut-être entendu parler des tigres asiatiques. C'est-à-dire, c'est des petits pays qui avaient beaucoup... très dynamique économiquement. Et pendant 15 ans, on parlait du Celtic Tiger. That is to say, because the economy of Ireland was very, of the Republic of Ireland, was very dynamic, low unemployment, a lot of new industry, they said, this is the Celtic Tiger. And everything was very good until 5 years ago, absolute, very, very, a terrible economic crisis. Alors, on a tellement l'habitude de parler des crises économiques que je veux vraiment que vous mesurez un peu. Moi, je suis en contact avec des universitaires en Irlande. L'année dernière, on leur a dit, allez, on réduit votre salaire de 25%. Comme ça. Les retraites aussi, coupées comme ça. Alors, c'est vraiment une crise, mais gravissime. Beaucoup plus grande que même ici. Okay, so... first of all, during the period of the Celtic Tiger, for the first time, there were a lot of immigrants to Ireland. Many Irish people in America came home to Ireland. And the population was rising. There were very important investments, new universities, they opened new universities,
more than 300 high technology companies came to operate in Ireland. I gave you the example of Dell. Vous avez entendu parler quand même de Dell? Oui? Good. Okay. And the sector soon made up 25% of Irish exports. That is to say that 25% of Irish exports was high technology, computers, mobile phones, livebox, etc. So it was a very dynamic new economy. Yeah, Intel worked in there.
C'est joli, hein, quand j'appuie sur le bouton. J'aime ça.
Dell? IBM opened a factory over there. Hewlett-Packard.
Je vais le refaire, j'aimais bien ça. C'est fou d'être payé pour ça.
Okay. In addition, another sector, very important, pharmaceuticals.
Donc les industries pharmaceutiques, je pense que vous êtes au courant que c'est des gros sous. Les médicaments, c'est beaucoup d'argent. Et tout ce qui est paramédical aussi, les crèmes, les maquillages et tout ça. A lot of money.
About 100 of these companies established themselves in Ireland. So from an economic point of view, it's interesting because the reduction of the conflict in Northern Ireland happened at the same time as the economic rise. It may not be an accident.
Pfizer, Boston Scientific, Abbott, je connaissais pas.
Okay, why did all these companies come to Ireland? Firstly, the people are very educated. Secondly, the tax on companies was very low. And thirdly, of course, people speak English. Si vous avez une entreprise d'ordinateur coréenne qui cherche à implanter une usine en Europe, ils ont un pays où les gens parlent déjà anglais, et ben ils adorent ça. Parce qu'ils ne veulent pas venir en France où il faut apprendre le français. Les Coréens, ils parlent déjà. Les gens éduqués parlent déjà anglais. Alors c'est un grand atout. The Republic's economy became much less dependent on that of Britain.
Alors l'économie de la République est devenue moins dépendante sur l'économie anglaise.
And for example, here is the new situation in the period of the Celtic Tiger. In 1973,
donc bien avant la période du Tigre Celtique,
55% of the Republic's exports went to Britain.
55% des exportations de la République irlandaise allaient en Angleterre, au Royaume-Uni.
Mais en 2004, seulement 18%. So this was obviously something that, which politically and economically was very positive for the Irish. 20% in 2004, 20% of the exports went to the United States and 44% went to countries in the European Union. So, in 2004, here is the situation of the exports of Ireland. 18% to Britain, 20% to the United States, and 44% to Europe.
Alors, vous imaginez bien que l'Union européenne était plus populaire en Irlande qu'en Angleterre.
Because it was a very, very important relation.
Donc, j'ai déjà dit tout ça, alors je continue.
In 2010, 2 years ago, the financial crisis hit Ireland's economy very hard, much harder than France. Similar to Greece, a really massive crisis.
Qu'en France, on n'a pas vu depuis les années 30. Pour l'instant.
Okay. In October
2008, the Irish government bailed out the big Irish banks. So the Irish government decided to give a lot of money to the Irish banks because they were in such a bad situation. And in fact, the Irish government did more for the banks than the French government, the Spanish government, the German government. The government at the time said they were going to spend $60 billion. Donc ils allaient dépenser 60 milliards de dollars pour aider les banques. Et donc, c'est-à-dire un quart de le revenu annuel du pays. Okay, so, $60 billion in a country with an annual gross domestic product of $228 billion. Donc, un quart de la production annuelle, c'était le prix de aider les banques. It was something very, very big, yeah. Very, very big. Ne vous en faites pas pour les détails des chiffres là, c'est pas très grave. And the result was very hard austerity budgets. Donc c'est comme ça que je dis que je connais des fonctionnaires irlandais où tout d'un coup le salaire a été coupé de 20-30% comme ça. A very difficult situation. Of course, people were not happy, so there were big demonstrations. Between 60,000 and 100,000 people marched in Dublin. L'équivalent, ce serait 3 millions à Paris. Something absolutely enormous situation. Some of the biggest protests seen for many, many years, and here they are. People before profits. And the government was then extremely unpopular. And in the elections in 2011, in the elections in 2011, the government lost and was replaced by a new government. So the Fianna Fáil-led government lost and the Fine Gael won. This is the last year, the front page of the most popular newspaper in Ireland. And it's quite impressive because the headline is Useless Gobshites. C'est difficile à traduire, mais ça fait un peu connard menteur. En gros, c'est le journal qui vend le plus dans tout le pays. A very exceptional situation. You can imagine if, I don't know what the equivalent would be in France, it'd be like Le Figaro having connard on the front page, you know. People were very angry. And there is the protest at the bank bailouts. We want jobs and services. March to the dial. Okay. I'm going to stop there. I don't have time for the history this year. Je suis désolé pour le fait que c'est difficile à voir. Ce soir même, je mets ça en ligne. Okay. Alors, bon courage pour l'examen. Je viendrai rigoler pendant que vous composez.